Welcome to Money Matters Special. Jen Jolly with me, who is the purveyor of Tech-ish, which may be the coolest name of a website and a blog and a content page that I've heard about in a long time. She writes for the USA Today, New York Times. She's on the Today Show. And if you're listening to this via audio, that's wonderful because she's great, but she's the best Zoom setup of any person I've talked to during the coronavirus. And it just looks like, it's like the background, it's like it's just slightly blurry, but it looks welcoming and inviting. She should be on television. You may be hearing on a radio, but I'll also record this via video. She looks very professional and is the, I'm kind of feeling a little insecure in my Zoom, picture at this point. So anyway, so Jen, thank you for being with us.
Let's be honest. Thank you so much, Wes. What an incredible introduction. But let's be honest, I'm a total cheater because my husband is a director of photography. He's a fancy videographer. I have professional lights. I have a really nice camera set up. And I get all of this just because I'm married up. So it's I'm cheating, really.
Okay. Well, I'll take that. But in the end, it still is a great setup and it's something I'm actually going to strive towards. So after this, because I've been, as I do a lot of this via audio and as a radio host, about 80% of the things I do are just audio. And yeah. As we're in, still living in the corona world, obviously I've had to adapt better and better to video. So anyway, so let me get started here with a couple of things. Initially, what was very interesting to talk with you about is that I know you do a lot of predictive analytics and searching through Google, which is a really wonderful way to understand trends. And even hedge funds use that now. And they try to track what people are searching for to see the interest levels as almost a leading indicator. So that originally really interested. I wanted to talk to you about that. And then if you learn, here we are in what I believe now, I think America wanted to get through lockdown and get through the worst of COVID-19 and then open up the doors and go back to normal life. And I think here we are in the summer. And even though the weather is nice, we realize that COVID just is not going away. And it feels like we're more, you thought maybe it was a 10K, but you really, it's more like a double marathon. Yeah. And we got close to the end of the 10K and we're like, are we almost done? And then it's like, no, you're actually running two marathons. So there's this, I think I'm sensing a little sense of, maybe it's like despair is maybe the wrong word, but just mental fatigue. It's kind of like, God, I thought things would be better. And now it's COVID's not going away. And I think it's tough on people. So I wanted to do a show that's just a little more uplifting, a little lighter. And then I read about some of your writing on Americans have $40 billion worth of old iPhones in the house, which by the way, with four young kids, 100% resonated with me. we're on iPhone 11. So we've had iPhones for a decade and then they get passed down and you don't ever want to throw them away. And then I've got four kids and they want, so I think where I want to start with you would be, we're spending more time in the house than ever. Is there something valuable in my home I'm missing? And then if you find something, can you really ever get real money out of it? Or is it like one penny? Is it 1 cent on the dollar? Do you really want to sell something? Where do you get stuff appraised? Let's talk about making the best with what we have. If we were to maybe walk through our houses and find part of that $40 billion in America.
Okay, well, I think that you're referring to that recent survey by tech resale site Declutter, and it shows that we, all of us here in the United States, are holding on to some $43 billion worth of old iPhones, DVDs, other unused old gadgets. I have a junk drawer filled with these, and according to that survey, the average person, so you, me, everybody who's listening to this or watching this can make nearly $200 just by digging up that old tech and then ditching that unwanted tech trash for cash. So the longer you sit on something, the longer it collects dust, unless it's some iDevice. Apple devices tend to hold on to their value a lot longer than any other technology, but typically the rule of thumb is the longer you let it sit there collecting dust, the more money you lose. So don't let that tech sit around and be dormant in your home. Go through your house, round up all your unwanted tech, and then you might really be surprised at the cash that you can get for it. It's not like winning the lottery, like some of the things that people have found in their homes during the shelter in place and pandemic times, but it's something, and it feels like you've done something really good.
Well, I think it's from a financial standpoint, we're at a point where we still have close to 20 million folks that are unemployed, and every single dollar counts. So $100, $200. I mean, we think about what the government has done with unemployment insurance. As that starts to run out, a couple $100 can go a really long way to keep trying to help people bridge until they get jobs back. And that is this part of the crisis we talked about as we started. It's going to be longer than we all want it to be. Let's talk about travel for a minute. And I know that you have a lot of really interesting insights around trying to stay safe and when you travel, the gadgets we use with travel, gadgets when you've got little kids, I want to talk about some of the, how do we adapt to this still COVID-19 world where we're trying to still do social distancing. And I read about you mentioned in one of your articles about some sort of movie projector outside. But so talk to me about travel and gadgets.
Well, yeah, people are definitely starting to get outside. They're wanting to get outside. And one of the hottest new gadgets around is this. It's about the size of a hairbrush. This is the Monos Clean Pod. And it fits into one hand. This is a UVC sanitizer. So you turn it on, and it's rechargeable. So it's super light. You turn it on, you use it on objects for 30 seconds. You just wave it back and forth, and that UVC light sanitizes whatever you need. You're not supposed to use it on your skin, but I did my first out and back plane trip for work the other day, and I used this on the seat, back, and it's a lot easier than carrying a tub of hand sanitizer with you everywhere you go. This is about $60, and this is a very, very hot gadget for summer.
Now, speaking of, does it get warm, or is it the UV light cool?
No, the UV light doesn't heat up. It's kind of maybe as warm as the palm of my hand.
Okay.
And I did, of course, look into it before I covered it, does this actually work? And yes, UVC light's been used in a lot of different circumstances for years and years. And yeah, it supposedly works really great. And my flight was about 2 weeks ago and I didn't get sick, so I think it works.
So for those of you who are not watching this via video and actually just listening, Jen is describing, think of if a comb or a hairbrush and a lightsaber had a baby, it would be this device. It's basically what it is. It looks like a mini lightsaber, but with only on one side, almost like a hairbrush. Very cool. All right, what else were you picking up there? I saw more gadgets.
I'm a big fan of weird stuff. So I found these hats on Amazon. They're about $15-16. You know, a lot of people, when you go on an airplane, you want to have something covering your eyes now too, because that might be a way to get the virus. So you put on your mask and you put on this bucket hat that has a shield, a plastic face shield in front of it. People are loving these. This is a bucket hat. They, of course, have a baseball hat version. It's muffling me a little bit as I pull this over my face. Here's the baseball cap version. And then you've got a plastic face shield that covers your face. It's supposed to be able to sit up, but this one's kind of floppy. These are about $15. And
they actually they look fairly cool. I mean, it doesn't, I think the other thing is that we're used to these weird things now. I remember wearing a mask way back in the early COVID days right before the world kind of shut down, and I was still one of the only people that was wearing one in the airport, and you feel weird. Now, I think it doesn't feel weird. Everybody wears a mask. Everybody, face shield, no big deal. No big deal anymore.
Yeah, you really have to wear a mask. It's required everywhere, and my mom made me the ones that I wear most often, but of course, since I review gadgets, I got a bunch of really high-tech ones. I don't love this. This is the O2 mask, super high tech. I feel like it's something like a men's protective sport device? Like,
it does look a little bit like an athletic. I think they would call that a cup.
Yeah.
And and a slingshot all put together.
And this is the $70 version. There's a little liner. And then it doesn't really even like cover my, I just feel weird in this. Yeah. And then there's another one. I'm going to see if my husband will
go. And you look like a stormtrooper, by the way, when you wear that.
I mean, with my lightsaber and my weird
stormtrooper.
Can you go grab that walking pod? It's going to take a second, but there's the best one's coming. It's out in our garage because, like I said, I hoard gadgets. So, you can have any level of protection that you want. And yes, you might look weird, but we're just weird. We're in a weird time now. And one of the gadgets my husband's running outside to get for us is called the walking pod. Now, this basically surrounds you on all sides with a heavy-duty plastic. You can walk down the street and nothing can touch you. They've now made these for clinical settings. They've made them for students so that you can sit at your desk in your little bubble. It's like the boy in the bubble thing.
Yeah, as you're walking. Yes.
Yeah, he's going to grab it. I forgot to grab it ahead of time.
Well, and really, I think that it kind of goes back to we realize, and this is, there's an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer just recently that did a study between the states that have mandated masks versus kind of high mask use, moderate and low mask use. And really, if you look at the numbers for June, and obviously cases really started surging in June in the U.S. and obviously in certain areas much more than others, but there have been enough studies now. I think there was a meta study that I read in The Lancet pretty recently that talks about, that looked at 120 different studies that really shows that social distancing does work. Masks really do work to stop the spread of this. And again, face shields might be the next iteration of that, because again, it's about protecting you. It's about protecting those around you. It just makes a ton of sense. I like that one too. That looks simple. Yeah. That looks like an accountant's mask.
Yeah,
that's easy. I love that.
So this one, I did not have this before I took my trip to Chicago and back, 1 day trip to Chicago and back, but so many other people did. I was wearing my reading glasses on the plane, but with the mask and glasses, as so many of us know now, they fog up. So a lot of people were wearing these with masks. Kind of gives you a double sense of a few layers of protection. Some airlines are leaving their middle seats empty. Alaska and Southwest leave middle seats empty, but that person sitting in front of you and behind you isn't necessarily, I mean, they're not 6 feet away. You're not doing
sure.
6 feet distance. And then I was speaking with a travel expert the other day who said, even leaving the middle seat empty, you're still only 17, 18 inches away from people. So you really do want to be extra, extra careful. Now, I was too embarrassed to use this on my flight, and you're going to see why in just a second.
So right now, it looks like she's opening up either a slip and slide or a tent that you're about to put up in the great outdoors.
Yeah, this is the under the weather. I might need my husband. I'm going to have to stand up or get some help. Or both. Here, I'm going to stand up. Yeah, this is the under the weather walking pod. Now, you slip it over your head, and it's basically...
Oh, my goodness.
It's ecosystem. Look at this.
Wow.
And you wear it like a backpack. So it's got a little backpack here. And then, you know, if it gets too hot, if it gets fogged up, you can just unzip, you know, get a little...
What does that cost? That looks actually less. So, for our listeners who are just listening...
Yeah.
It looks like your own personal, what you would go camping with. It looks like an outside tent, but it's got clear plastic. It actually looks, and you wear it as a backpack. And what's most impressive is that you're able to just put the tent on, take the tent off, and your hair isn't even messed up.
I don't even want to know what my hair looks like right about now, but
that's
it's
awesome.
So funny. These came out last year. I think this walking pod, I'd have to check. I think it's around $150. I have that written down here somewhere. But they are coming out with a bunch of different versions of these, and they're actually brilliant.
Jen, let me ask you a question. I want to get to the outdoor movie theater to some extent.
Yes.
I believe that's what it's called. But before I do that, do you have any sense, and I've I've been reading at, the CEO of Delta has been a good communicator throughout this, yeah. and he's written some blogs about how it's safer on these planes. Do you have a sense of the, if we keep hearing about air filtration on planes, it circulates between 15 and 30 times per hour. Do you have a sense of, are they changing out the filters? Were they always doing that? I just guess maybe your opinion on that.
Yeah, it's funny. I just wrote this story yesterday. So I have a lot of that on top of mind right now. But yeah, they use the same filtration systems that hospitals use. And it's a mix of recirculated and fresh air. And every 4 to 5 minutes, they're pumping that fresh air that's run through a hospital grade HEPA filter through the cabin. So everybody in the airline industry, all the medical people that I spoke with, all the epidemiologists said that combined with turning on your vent and facing it down so it's constantly blowing air through and recirculating even the air right in front of you, that really, really helps. Now, I'm not sure exactly when they did this. I believe this was pre-COVID. So I think that they faced a lot of lawsuits. I think they faced a lot of trouble from people picking up things with too much recirculated air. So I believe this is a shift that they made 4 or 5 years ago, but I'm not totally sure about that.
Yeah, and it's something that I hope they continue to advertise. But did you get the sense that the air in a plane is it better than being in an office building? Is that the sense you're really getting? Oh, it really is.
Yeah. So it's a lot better than your own home. And I've done stories on the air that we breathe in our own home. Sometimes this is the dirtiest air of all.
From a virus perspective, though, I think is the question. Yes.
The biggest problem is if there is a sick person sitting around you who coughs and isn't wearing a mask and doesn't have the face shield, and you're sitting on that plane next to that person for hours and hours on end, no amount of air filtration is going to keep you safe. I think that's really the biggest thing is that everybody is saying is that if you're at all sick, if you're sneezing, if you're coughing. On my flight back from Chicago, one man was coughing, and I swear everybody on the plane was like,
I know.
It's just, you got to stay home. You have to be extra, extra careful, and then do your part with masks and shields and whatever you can too.
All right, so I've got 4 little kids. We're going to Michigan for a week or 2 weeks this summer, and when the weather's cooler, and I love the thought of being able to be outside. In fact, I want to ask you about working outside in a minute, but what is this? I'm very intrigued by this outdoor movie theater idea that you have, that you've written about.
High-tech projectors are a big, big thing. They're a category in and of themselves. And there are some models that are $2,000 and they are incredible. But my favorite right now is the size of a soda can. It looks like a soda can. I'm not sure if you guys say pop or soda where you are. I grew up with pop. Now it's soda.
So I'm soda. I'm soda, but my wife is from Michigan and they call it pop. Okay. So it's the size of a LaCroix can.
Exactly. And it's the Anchor. I want to make sure I say the right name. It's the Anchor capsule projector. It's $300. It's a little point and play device that you charge up and it streams movies anywhere with 360-degree sound, 4-hour video playtime, and a screen size of up to 8.3 feet. And you can really take it just about anywhere in the world that you can stream movies. You can use it on ceilings, walls, indoors, outdoors. It does run on the Android operating system, so you can access plenty of streaming options too if you have that connection where you are.
Android, not iPhone?
Android, yeah.
Anchor, not iPhone, though.
It's still compatible with iPhone, but
it does work. Okay.
Yeah. It's compatible with other devices. Android devices typically play pretty well in the sandbox with all other devices. Apple, not as much, but these work just fine together. I've used it with my iPhone several times and I love it. I'm from Alaska. We're going up there in a few weeks for a month to spend the summer. And that is one of the must take gadgets.
So you're going to take one of these Anchor projectors. God, that's such a good idea.
I'm going to watch a movie in the middle of nowhere. Of course, it doesn't really ever get dark up there. So that'll be our biggest challenge. But yeah, it's really.
That's true. Well, that's the other thing. When you go and you rent houses in the summer, you one thing that is you don't typically get, or necessarily, especially where we go in northern Michigan, usually the house has a tiny little TV. There's really not a lot of tech. And that's why we go too, by the way. We're trying to get away from tech to some extent. But to have a movie theater, to be able to project on a wall an 8-foot movie, I'm so excited to talk that you told us about this. So you are full of real, these are all awesome things. Now, I want to talk about moving. I guess let's go back to the thought about being outside. I just wrote an article called Project Pavilion that basically is saying, because I feel like we're settling in for a longer marathon with COVID, the office is one of the most challenging places to go to because you're together and you're in confined areas. My idea that we're starting probably more like in August when everybody's kind of back from vacations is that even though we've been doing 50-50 shifts in the office, it's still pretty light. So my sense here is I'd like to get everybody together almost in a pavilion style once a month, or where we have fans and we have Wi-Fi and we can be kind of spread out. We can be literally outside, which seems really safe to me, as long as we're not, you know, huddled all together. And I don't know if I've seen, to me, I think it's a compromise between working virtually and not working virtually. I'm in the financial industry, so it's not like we have a bunch of programmers that are fine to be totally working from home forever. We're in a relationship business and we need to be together in order to kind of maintain our culture. So have you heard of any companies trying to do that?
I don't know of any companies putting those kinds of outdoor shared workspaces together. That's a great idea. And I feel like, hey, I'm in the Silicon Valley. Let me think about that. But to do that yourself and with your team, there is a device. It's a gadget. It's called the Edge Desk. Have you heard about this?
I've briefly seen it on Tech-ish, your website, but tell us about it.
It's a MacGyver-style desk that has been one of the biggest winners in this work-from-home or really work-from-anywhere battle. The CEO is telling me sales are up more than 1,100% from pre-COVID days. It's one compact piece of furniture that transforms into whatever you need. It's a sit-down desk. It has a chair attached. It can be an art-friendly easel. It arrives fully assembled, takes less than a minute from unpacking it to setting it up. And it's kind of like a Murphy bed, but in desk form. You sit on it, and I have one of these chairs in my office where you sit with your knees and your legs kind of angle back. It's much better for your back and your posture. So it has a chair like that. I'm short, I'm only 5'4", so I can use it as a standing desk too. I think you would have trouble using it as a standing desk, but I have another little option for that too. But it also comes with wheels on it, so you can roll it from room to room or roll it outside and it can tuck away in an instant.
And it's called the Edge Desk? It's called the Edge Desk?
Edge Desk, it's $400. So a lot of people are now working from home. They're getting maybe a $1,000 allowance to upgrade their office spaces. This actually fits into that. It's one of the least expensive options that kind of gives you the most, you know, a MacGyver-esque desk. But what I've seen people do with these is buy four or five of them and set them up at 6-foot intervals outside in a circle.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's
so really it's kind of the Swiss Army knife of office furniture.
Exactly. Yes. And then just yesterday I ordered a tripod. It looks just exactly like a tripod with almost like a music stand on top of it. So it's a standing desk that folds down into the size of a tripod, and the little desk part folds down. You can just pack it up and take it with you wherever you go. So I love that too, because standing desks are expensive and you can do the hacks, but you know, then your diaper box falls down and rolls away or whatever. So I just thought that was really cool too. And that's about $60.
What's the name of that?
I think it's called the Tripod Desk. I just ran across it yesterday, and I'll let you know for sure. I sent it to a friend of mine and said, let's check this out. Let's review it. So I'll even look it up.
I had four little guys, four boys, and they just got their first they got their haircuts today for the first time. And here we are in, let's call it, we're deep into the summer. What is there hope for camps at all? And then before we talk about, I want to wrap up today with some of your thoughts about these predictive search analytics, but is there any hope for camps, or is it just going to be neighborhood kids that realize, hey, there are no camps and we can at least have a neighborhood camp and it's an entrepreneurial camp?
There are camps happening, in-person camps happening in some states across the country right now. The class sizes are usually limited to 10. They do pick up and drop off. They can't be on a bus together. They must wear masks. There's all kinds of safety rules. But I know there are a few here in Northern California. There are a few happening I know about in Oregon, Chicago, New York. But if you're not comfortable sending your child to an actual camp, I don't think there are any overnight camps happening at all.
At all, yeah.
A bunch of camps have gone online. And one of the ones that I reviewed and did a story on is called Trackers Spark. And what's interesting about that is that it's not just a video that kids passively watch. You sign up for a class. It's anywhere from $5 to $20. The classes are 30 minutes to an hour. They're limited to 8 or 10 kids overall from anywhere in the world. And you do things like learn how to walk in the woods without making a sound. So they're really interactive. It engages the kids. It's fun. A lot of parents were using them like recess when they were still teaching, you know, class was still in session at home. So those are really interesting. And there's some other companies doing similar things that will help give parents a break for 30 minutes, an hour. It doesn't replace,
overnight camp.
Right. It'll never replace overnight camp, but it is interesting. And if you have a phone with Wi-Fi, a phone or a tablet you can take outside, even a laptop you can take outside and stream these classes, you can do stuff outside. And it's a private Zoom link they send out to each person before class with two instructors. And one instructor is monitoring that the kids are engaged. And if they're not, they'll text the parent. And then the other instructor is making sure that even though it's a very private, very secure Zoom connection, they're making sure that nobody Zoom bombs in.
I love that. Well, I mean, anything until we can get back to a world where maybe it's 2021 summer when we actually get back to real camps. And then let's just, as we wrap up today, speaking of camps, I would think that if you're searching search analytics on what people are searching for, I know that my wife and I probably 10 different times were searching for camps. I'm sure that's a big search. But what are some of the things for, where do you look for this? Are there a variety of websites, or do you just use Google? I guess the Google Analytics that'll help you do this. And tell me about your research into that.
Yeah, there are a lot of different websites I use, but I have ever since March, I do a lot with Just Answer. What's trending? What 800% up on computer related questions this week? Why? Google Analytics, App Annie is another one that I use. So I've been doing this so long. I've been a reporter, a journalist for, almost 30 years, which is scary to think about. But I've been doing tech specifically for a little over 10 years now. And there are so many little tips and tricks to becoming a really good Googler. I feel like that's almost my superpower. So learning how to do that a little bit better, where to look, how to find these tips and trends. Google actually sends me once a week, they send a lot of reporters, here's what people look for the most this week. And so I then say, okay, well, people are searching for, or Just Answer will say, hey, we've had the appliance repair categories gone up 800%. And then I just work backward from that, trying to figure out why and how and what's going on in the world that this is what everybody's thinking about and talking about.
All right. So let's talk. I mean, that superpower is actually a really important superpower because it's not easy to find. There's so much information in the world that we live in. It's not easy to find data that's really relevant. So for you, what are some of the things that, you know, do you go to, what is kind of your go-to site? And then, but you still have to figure out what to search for and to what to compare, what to chart, right? I mean, where do you typically, what are the tools that you use for this? So App Annie, is that one of them?
App Annie talks about what's trending really high in the world of apps. So what apps are people downloading the most? Gadget Flow, a site called Gadget Flow, and Product Hunt. Those are great sites to go and discover new crazy gadgets. The one thing that if you go to Gadget Flow to discover new crazy gadgets, a lot of them are Indiegogo or Kickstarter. They're not fully funded and they're not on the market yet. But I do go to those places. I also get pitched a lot. I get about 1,000 emails a day. I'm kind of on everybody's list about here's a new gadget coming out. We want you to know about it. Here's a new product. Here's a new service. And then I also look at what all of my colleagues are talking about. Joanna Stern and at Wall Street Journal, Jeffrey Fowler at the Washington Post. It used to always be Ed Begg at USA Today. He has now gone the way of so many incredible journalists laid off or furloughed during coronavirus. But there are just a handful of people. Wired Magazine is incredible for kind of this cutting edge of technology. New York Times. So I follow folks on Twitter. I see what people are talking about. And I have that. You develop a sixth sense over time of who to trust, what to believe. I'm very careful to vet all of the information and snopes it if it sounds too out there, and it often is. And then I don't talk about any gadgets at all that I don't go hands-on with myself.
So you do test everything.
Okay. Because so many things sound incredible on paper, in the pitch or in the promo video or marketing video, I get them in my hands and they're crap. And I don't ever want to recommend crap. I feel like that's the least I can do.
So is it 1 out of 10 really surprise you? Is it 1 out of 100 surprise you to the upside? And are a lot of them kind of disappointing?
You know, I've stopped asking for a lot of things. I don't get as many things in through the door as I used to.
Yeah.
So I don't see a lot of bad stuff anymore. What's surprising to me is that things will be trending really high. You know, the BuzzFeed, these 10 gadgets will change your life, and I'll get those and they're awful. Or, you know, so a lot of times for a lot of the TV shows that I do, they want things that are less than $100. It's tough to get
a
really good gadget less than $100. The best gadget I have ever tried and recommend no matter what is the Tub Shroom. That little, it looks like a mushroom. You stick it in your drain of your bathtub. It's $3 to $5 on Amazon, and it catches all the hair that goes down the drain. That's a gadget that just keeps on winning over and over and over.
The Tub Shroom.
Oh my Lord, that thing is heavenly. It just, it's amazing. Tub Shroom. I'm from a family, my whole family, even my husband has kind of long hair. We all have long hair. Whew, that saves the plumbing bills. Also, this is a high-end gadget, but I was one of the early reviewers of the Peloton bike.
And you were like, this thing is going to change the game. Did you know when you tested it, it was going to just be through the roof?
The heavens opened up. Absolutely. And nothing has come like it since.
What about the mirror? What do you think about that thing?
I have not had that in my house to use. I've played with it at their studio, but really it seems wonderful. It's really expensive. And it seems like it needs a little more back end help than like the Peloton. You kind of just plug it in and everything's good. But to be fair, they haven't let me test it in my own home yet. So I haven't done extensive research on it enough to say, yes, this is magical. But man, that Peloton bike, we're 5 years into it now, and everyone in my family uses it.
So the Tub Shroom, the Peloton, what's your second favorite surprise to the upside on a product, by the way?
Well, the molecule.
Because,
you know, clean air, you don't realize how important it is. But we moved into this 1888 Victorian home a year ago and had to do a ton of fixing up to an 1888 home.
Yeah.
And in November of last year, I got hoarse. And I was hoarse, like, you know, like talk like this.
Yeah.
Until February of this year when that Molecule Mini arrived. I put it on my headboard behind my bed and sleep with it. The hoarseness went away. It was poor air quality, which we knew that we kind of had poor air quality. We've redone the HVAC. Like, we've done so many things to fix that. But it wasn't until I got that gadget, stuck it behind my head while I sleep, that everything was just almost instantly fixed. So that's been a big surprise, just how important air quality is in your home.
Jen, a pleasure. Thank you so much.